Thanks, Josh, for reading for us. Good morning, everyone. My name is Michael, and I'm going to be speaking from that passage, as well as other passages in the Bible today. As far as my favourite kind of music is concerned, I think you can summarise my taste in music by just saying no words. I like classical music. I like instrumentals, and kind of I went through a fairly heavy techno-electronica phase in my uni days as well. Movie and music soundtracks as well. I find that for some reason the words get in the way of enjoyment of music, and so that's kind of what I enjoy. Today we're going to look at faith and music. We're going to see how our Christian faith affects this part of our lives, the music that we listen to and the music that we produce as well. So please join with me as we pray before we get into God's word. Let's pray together. Dear Heavenly Father, we give you thanks for the gift of music. We thank you for the emotions that they stir in us. We thank you for the truths that music expresses as well. And Lord, we pray that the music in our ears and the music in our heads and the music on our lips will be pleasing to you. And Lord, we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, I want you to think through your last year, 2022, 2023, and I want you to imagine that you never, ever came to church on Sunday. All right, so I don't want you to imagine that too much because we want you to come to church on Sunday. But imagine that you didn't, hypothetically. How many times would you sing if not for singing at church? You know, I think for most of us, the answer to that question would be not very much. I think I sang the national anthem once last year at a school assembly, and that was pretty much it. Sometimes when I'm going around the house, I will sing old songs to annoy my kids. But generally, it is not very common at all for us to sing. There's a reason why I had to ask you the question for the whole year rather than, say, last week. We don't really sing that much. We might say that we are consumers of music, definitely. We are listeners of music, also definitely. But I think very few of us would say that as a habit, we are makers of music. And I want to suggest that actually this might be a problem, right? Like, it's not a huge problem, but still, us not being makers of music is us missing out on something. Music is part of the normal experience of what it means to be a human. People talk about music as a cultural universal, and that means that music is actually present in every human culture in the world. It's something like language or getting into family groups or using technology. Every culture in the world has some sort of music. And that is something that the Bible testifies to as well. We are musical creatures. And we're going to see this as we look at God's word today. We're going to look at what the Bible says about faith and music. And I want to encourage you to have good music in your ears, in your heads, and on your lips. But firstly, when we look at the Bible on music, we've got to look at kind of why do people make music? Or why do people sing? Why do people break out into song? And I think when we look at the Bible and we see the times when God's people will break out into music, we can come up with two conclusions about music. The first one is that music is emotional expression. And the second one is that music is teaching. So firstly, music is emotional expression. In Exodus chapter 15, God has just led his people through the Red Sea. God has parted the waters in front of them. The people of Israel have gone through as if on dry land. Pharaoh's armies have been defeated. This is the great salvation event of the Old Testament. God has brought his people out of slavery. What is their response? Well, you look at chapter 15, verses 1 to 2, and it says, "Then Moses and the people of Israel sang this song to the Lord, saying, 'I will sing to the Lord, for he has triumphed gloriously. The horse and his rider he has thrown into the sea. The Lord is my strength and my song, and he has become my salvation. This is my God, and I will praise him, my father's God, and I will exalt him.'" Their response is to sing praises to the God who saved them. This is exactly the same in Judges with Deborah and Barak when God gave them victory over the Canaanites. This is the same with the women of Israel in 1 Samuel singing that Saul has struck down his thousands and David his tens of thousands. This is the same with Ezra and the rest of Israel when they laid the foundation to rebuild the temple after the temple was destroyed. And they sang that God is good, his steadfast love endures forever. We see God's people sing in praise of what God has done for them. But it's not just in victory and success that God's people sing. In Psalm 51, we see King David sing a song to God. And he sings, "Have mercy on me, O God, according to your steadfast love, according to your abundant mercy, blot out my transgressions, wash me thoroughly from my iniquity, and cleanse me from my sin. This is a song that David is singing to God after he committed adultery. He is mourning his sin. He is repenting from his sin, and he is asking God to forgive him by singing a song. And we see in the rest of the book of the Psalms as well, there are songs of praise where they praise God for creating people and saving people. We saw that like Psalm 96, the passage we read. But we also see psalms like this, psalms of lament, psalms of frustration, psalms of hope, as well as psalms of hopelessness as well. And so when you put all this together, I think we can conclude that music is a reflection of our emotions. There is something that is about music that is suitable for conveying how we feel. And I think this is why, when you look at all the songs that we see in our world, pop songs, rock songs, that kind of thing, a lot of them are about things like romance and breakups. They're about emotionally intense experiences. You know, you don't get a lot of songs about putting on your socks or songs about washing the dishes. You know, there are no real emotions to go along with that. And I think that's also why, in my experience at least, you know, when I watch musicals, you know, I'm a lot more moved by musicals that relate to my own experience, my own emotional experience. I've been particularly moved, I think, by Les Miserables because the songs deal with issues that I emotionally resonate with. Issues like being forgiven, issues like shattered dreams and hopelessness, issues like prejudice and judgmentalism, or about having something to fight for. Whereas there are other musicals that I'm not particularly moved by, and I keep on going to Cats with this. You know, as far as I can determine, like the songs of Cats are basically, here's a song about a cat, and here's a song about a different kind of cat, and then here's another song about a cat, and then one of them goes to heaven at the end or something like that. And in fact, in a news interview, the writer of Cats, Andrew Lloyd Webber, he revealed that he hated the film Cats so much that he bought a dog. The best kind of music is one that reflects our emotions. And that can be bad at times. Music can reflect bad emotions. It can reflect our idols. It can reflect emotions that we are not meant to have. It can glorify things like violence or unfaithfulness or contempt for people and those things we are not meant to do. But music can also be good. It can reflect our better natures. It can reflect the things that we are meant to do, reflect the things that we are meant to aspire for. Similar to last week, we heard with finances that we invest in what we love. Well, also, what we sing reflects what we love. And what we love reflects what we sing as well. Music is emotional expression. But not just that, music is also teaching. In Deuteronomy chapter 32, we've got Moses and Israel. They're about to enter the promised land that God has given to them. God warns Moses at the end of his big speech to the people that things aren't always going to be great when you enter the promised land, that you're going to get into there, but God's people are going to rebel against him again. And God actually tells Moses to sing a song to them, to remind them. And God says in Deuteronomy 32:21, "And when many evils and troubles have come upon them, this song shall confront them as a witness, for it will live unforgotten in the mouths of their offspring." You see what God is doing here? God is using music to teach. He's using music to remind his people of fundamental truths, truths like God is good, that his people are responsible for their actions, that they do not get to blame God when they break his law and experience the consequences. Now, there's something here that says that music kind of, you know, it sticks in your head in a way that ordinary words do not. You know, this is our experience as well, isn't it? You might hear sometimes in your own head music from an advertisement that you just didn't want to remember, but you know, it just keeps on coming repetitively. It's also why we can remember songs from our childhood, even though we haven't sung them for years. Music is memorable, and therefore also music is teaching. And again, this can be good or bad. Music can teach good things, such as the values of a country in a national anthem. Or music can teach bad things. It can teach attitudes on relationships and sex and violence that are at odds with the Word of God. And so music in general is emotional expression, and music is teaching. And it's because music is emotional expression and music is teaching that God's people are called to express themselves musically in church. Music in church is not an optional extra. Music is a direct command of God. We see this in passages like the one that Ellen has showed us. Colossians chapter 3, verse 16. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly, teaching and admonishing one another in all wisdom, singing psalms and hymns and spiritual songs with thankfulness in your hearts to God. Then Ephesians chapter 5, verses 18 to 20 as well, which says, and do not get drunk with wine, for that is debauchery, but be filled with the Spirit, addressing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody to the Lord with your heart, giving thanks always and for everything to God the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. There are a few things about these passages that I want you to notice from here. Firstly, is that singing goes in two directions. Who do we sing to in these passages? Well, I think our reflex answer when we come to church would be that we sing to God. You know, you see this in TV shows when there are people at church. You know, what are they doing when they're singing? You know, they're looking up. They've got their eyes closed. They're concentrating on just them and God. And to a certain extent, that is true, right? Colossians says, singing with thankfulness in your hearts to God. The Ephesians passage says, singing and making melody to the Lord with your heart. But also, you might have noticed that in Colossians, it also says, when you're singing, you are teaching and admonishing one another in all wisdom. And then Ephesians is saying you address one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs. You see, we're singing to God, but we're also singing to each other. There is both a vertical and a horizontal dimension to our singing. And because of that, our singing in church is not just singing, but it's also listening. Because we are meant to be hearing the people around us sing and being encouraged by that too, because our singing goes in two directions, the vertical direction and the horizontal direction. Second thing to notice from these passages is that the song that we sing is the word of God. The Colossians passage starts, let the word of Christ dwell in you richly. It is the word of God that guides our singing. If music is emotional expression, if music is a response to emotionally intense experiences, then nothing should hit us in the emotions more than the word of God. The word of God is our guide when we are lost. The word of God is our hope when we fail. The word of God is our comfort when we are sad and angry. And most of all, the word of God is our salvation when we were sinners. This gives us more than enough reason to be affected by the word of God and therefore also to sing the word of God. Jonathan Lehman from Nine Marks Ministries, he writes that Christians sing an echo of the word which has given them life. The word has been spoken to us. We echo it in our singing. So therefore, kind of what makes a good song? Well, tune is important, arrangement is important, instrumentation, otherwise it's not really music at all, right? But you are not really following God here unless the songs that you are singing are true to the word of God. And so it is right for churches to prioritize the lyrics of songs in selecting them. We want to sing songs that are true. We want to sing songs that do not tell lies, that do not promote error. Because we heard before that music is teaching. And so the song that we sing is the word of God. And then finally, number three, it all starts with your inputs. You might have been reading these passages and you might have been thinking to yourself, what if the word of Christ doesn't dwell in me richly? Well, what if I don't feel like I am filled with the Spirit? You know, I don't feel like I am singing to God or other people. I don't really want to do it. Well, I think these passages actually answer that question as well, because these passages are basically saying, look, you get out what you put in. Notice the contrast in Ephesians 5, where it says, do not get drunk with wine, for that is debauchery, but be filled with the Spirit. And that's what leads to song. You know, a big issue here is, what are you putting into your body? Or what are your inputs? You fill your body with wine, you will get a predictable consequence from that. You'll be controlled by the wine. You're going to do things that you're later going to regret. But if you are filled with the Spirit, then there is a predictable consequence to that as well. The Spirit of Christ, God's empowering presence, that's what's going into you. Of course, what's going to happen is you are going to sing and praise and give thanks to God. And how do we let the Spirit in? How do we open up those gates so that the Holy Spirit comes into us? Well, if you look at Colossians 3, and these two passages are meant to be parallel passages to each other. Colossians 3 says, let the word of Christ dwell in you richly. Right? That is the input that we should have. God's Spirit comes with God's word. All right? God's word is not exactly the same as the Spirit. We do not worship the Bible. We do worship God. But God the Holy Spirit works through the Word. I've been looking at our Bible studies at this term. The Word is one of the marks of the true church. The Word is one of the means of grace, one of the ways that God promises to work in His people. When you think about your own life, when you think about what's going in to your body, into your life, are you surprised by what's coming out? It is God's promise that more word going in, more Spirit going in, leads to more thankfulness and praise and joy. And so it starts with your inputs. And so in light of all that, in light of how our faith relates to our music, I want to give a few encouragements specifically for our church. And I want to talk about it in terms of the music in our ears, the music on our lips, and the music in our heads. And so firstly, the music in our ears. Matt Merker, who works for Getty Music, he says that songs teach. They're mini sermons that play on repeat in our souls. You know, we saw this from the Bible, didn't we? Music is memorable. Music is teaching. And this is true for both Christian music and non-Christian music as well. And so that's why it's important for us to watch our inputs. There is a place for us as Christians to let the Word of God come into our lives through good Christian music. Letting it shape our thoughts, letting it shape our memories, letting it shape our emotions. And I think, especially in our time nowadays, there is very little excuse to not do this. There are all sorts of streaming services and ways to get good Christian music conveniently and cheaply. And I get that there is such a thing as maybe kind of too much Christian music in your life. Some people might go so much into that Christian music bubble that they become insensitive to ordinary people. But I think for most of us as a church, we could probably do with a decent amount more of the Word of God in song when it comes to the music in our ears. Secondly, the music on our lips. This is talking about singing at church, the songs that we sing. Maybe all this talk of music might have left you a little bit, kind of feeling a bit left out if you're not musically gifted. Maybe you didn't learn an instrument as a kid, or more accurately, maybe your parents didn't force you to learn an instrument as a kid. And maybe you might feel like this is a part of the Christian life that you're locked out from. You know, you're just kind of separate from this musical aspect of the Christian life. But that is not true. Right? When it comes to God, music and singing is for everyone. We saw this in Colossians and Ephesians. So God's word is addressed to the people of the whole church. Everyone can sing. Keith Getty, who writes a few of the songs that we sing at church, he says, your voice may not be of professional standard, but it is of confessional standard. You can sing enough to be able to confess and speak the word of God to others. Everyone has enough to be able to sing the word of God. And so can I encourage you to sing? With energy, with joy, with love for God and love for the people around you as well. And while you are singing, listen to other people singing as well. Because this is one of the ways that we encourage each other with God's word. As far as church singing is concerned, I will say that generally quantity beats quality. right? We want more people singing. We want more people not being too self-conscious about their singing as well, because church is not a music concert. It's not a spectator sport. Music is a ministry of the whole church. Now, sometimes this quantity over quality attitude can be a bit of a disadvantage. Like I said before, I was at this school assembly for our kids, and we all had to stand up to sing the national anthem, and I was belting it out loudly like I would sing at church, and Jen was like, shh, because no one else was singing that loud. That might be why it's important to listen. But generally, it is better the more people have the music of God on their lips. And then finally, there is the music in our heads. The tunes that we listen to, the lyrics and the instruments, they just come invited into our heads sometimes, don't they? I want you to keep a watch on the music in your heads, because it might be a good indication of how much the word of Christ is dwelling in us richly. You might need to ask yourself, how much of that random music in your head is the word of God? Because if there's not enough there, then maybe more needs to come in. Now, you only get out what you put in. That is the music in our heads. And so we've seen today, God has made us musical creatures. This is part of who we are. It's part of our culture. It's part of the way that we express our emotions. It's part of the way that we teach the next generation. Like everything, music is a gift from God that can be used for good or for bad. We can use it to worship God, or we can use it to worship our idols and sin. Can I encourage you to use it for good? To let music help you to express the emotions that we are meant to have about God, about his world, and about each other. And that let music teach you the truth of God's word as well. To let your inputs shape the music in your ears, the music in your lips, and the music in your head, in both the vertical and horizontal dimension, so that you are singing to God and to the people around you as well. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we do thank you for the gift of music. We thank you that when we look at your scriptures, we see how musical your people are. We see how they responded to your great saving works, your great creation works with song. We also thank you how they expressed their deepest fears, their deepest repentances, their deepest laments, as well as their deepest hopelessness with song as well. Lord, we pray that we may do the same. Lord, when we feel these intense emotions, we pray that we may find the lyrics, we pray that we may find the tunes to be able to express these things to you. We pray that your word may shape the music that comes into our ears, the music in our heads, and the music on our lips. And Lord, we ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen.